Amen. We ought to be running laps around this place this morning over what we're missing out on being the children of God. And I appreciate good singing this morning. Psalm 14 this morning. Psalm 14, if those of you been in the house of the Lord around here lately, you know we've been preaching through the Psalms on Wednesday nights. And we've made our way to Psalm 14. I've been studying this the last several weeks. And the Lord just ain't let me preach it on a Wednesday. And I felt just a nudge, even on yesterday. The Lord said, just preach that Psalm 14 tomorrow morning. And so I'm just going to follow the Lord. I feel like I'm in about 12 different sermon series at the same time. We're preaching on worship this year. And we got bogged down last Sunday morning. I thought we'd just preach a little while out of Genesis 2. On the garden of God, I had about 5 or 6, 7 points, I guess. We got one in, and then we got another in on Wednesday. And so that's turned into a series, and then we end this in the Psalms. But God knows what we have need of, all right? And I ain't planned it this way. It's just how it's worked out. Stand with me, if you will, out of reverence for reading of God's Word. And again, let me say, I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. And I know I say it often, and I hope you know that I mean it from the depths of my heart. I'm not just saying it. You didn't have to come here this morning. You could have went to any church. You could be doing anything in this world you wanted to be doing. But you come to the house of the Lord, and you came to this place. And many of you, this is not your first time. We got a few first-time visitors this morning. But the fact that you're here, visitors and church members alike, I don't take it for granted, all right? I'm just old hack preacher, that's all I am. I ain't got half a brain in my head half the time, but you come and come back and you're faithful to the house of God. And I'm so thankful that you do that. Amen. Somebody said, bless God, some of you look better going than you do coming. I ain't one of them preachers, amen. Amen. I have preached to the pews before, but I'd much rather preach when there's people sitting in the building. And, amen, I'll tell you like it is. Aunt Reva's not here this morning, but Reva and them been coming several months. She walked out the other Sunday after we preached that worshiping Satan in the temple of God message. She said, man, you have crushed my toes again tonight. And last Sunday night, I walked by to shake her hand for service, and she put her feet up under the pews. She said, I'm keeping them up under here so you can't get them. And so we'll get your toes. Amen. We'll tell you how it is. But I sure do appreciate you coming to the house, Lord. I've got enough enemies. I ain't trying to make any more. Amen. I want to be your friend, and I want you to be my friend. And I'm thankful that you're here today. May the Lord bless you now. If you hadn't shouted up to this point, you probably missed your opportunity. All right? Psalm 14. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. And seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. I like that exclamation point right there. David said, Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. This morning I'm going to preach from Psalm 14. You pray with us. And let's pray that the Lord will really do work here this morning. This is real serious verses we've read this morning. I want to do it justice this morning. I want to handle the Word of God right. And I want you to pay attention this morning and hear what the Word of the Lord says. Father, I want to thank you today for bringing us this way. We want to thank you this morning for the good grace of God. It reached further down than we could reach up and saved our soul. You have been the dearest friend we've ever had. And we're thankful today Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. That, Lord, we're thankful today for the opportunity that You give us one day to be saved. And Father, Lord, we didn't have to have that, but Lord, You came calling, Lord, much like You'll do this morning in this service. And You dealt with our heart and You convicted us of our sin. You convinced us of the reality, the truth that we've even read this morning in Psalm 14. And Lord, we're thankful that salvation came our way. Father, I pray that, Lord, the spirit of conviction would be real upon this service this morning. That You'd deal with every heart and, Lord, meet every man, woman, boy, and girl. Lord, matters not to me the age. Lord, I pray that every sinner would have a very voice of God echo in their heart this morning. May the Word of God expounded to them be, Lord, the power of the gospel, Lord, unto salvation to everyone that believeth today. Lord, we'll bless You and thank You for all that You do. May the saints of God, Lord, this morning be able to rejoice and to be glad. As David said, when God brings salvation, Lord, we rejoice and are glad. And Lord, I just pray You do Your work and Your will this morning according, Lord, to Your own way today. And Lord, get us out of the way. And God, Lord, may the gospel be clear and plain today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll look this morning at Psalm 14. You can be seen in this psalm. We understand, according to the heading, is a psalm that is authored by David. And you'll notice there, the Bible said, the chief musician, a psalm of David. And so David is the author of this psalm, a man after God's own heart, a man that knew something about God, a man that knew something about affliction, a man that, my friend, you and I can oftentimes identify with. When we study this psalm, the direct background of the setting this psalm is unclear. This morning, we don't know what is going on in David's life. We don't know what events surround it. We do know this, that it is an important enough of the heart of the Holy Spirit. And really, this psalm is mentioned twice in the Word of God. We've read Psalm 14 to you in its entirety this morning. If you will, flip over several pages to Psalm 53. And if you will, just bear with me this morning. I'll try not to be lengthy today. I know where we want to get, but just let me emphasize the Word of God this morning. Listen what Psalm 53 and in verse 1 said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That sound familiar? Amen. That's how Psalm 14 begins. He goes on and said, corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men and see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Everyone of them has gone back. They're altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. Is this sounding familiar to you today? Amen. Almost word for word the same. Verse 5. There were they in great fear where no fear was. Our God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that salvation. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion when God bring it back. A captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. And so, my friend, though we don't know the setting in David's life and the events surrounding the penning of this event and this psalm and the events of his life, amen, the Holy Spirit took it and put it in the King James Bible on two occasions. And so today, amen, I argue with you that it's very important in the truths that are here, my friend, bear repeating, my friend, to you and I today. Though related to a direct event, it is related to a direct event in David's life. And though we don't know what that event is, the Holy Spirit takes Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, and my friend uses these passages of Scripture in the New Testament to reveal the exceeding depravity of the human race. If you will, I want you to go to Romans chapter 3, hold your place in Psalm 14. Look with me in Romans in chapter number 3. And notice what the Holy Spirit does as the Apostle Paul pens this important letter in the New Testament. In verse number 10,
10, Romans 3 and in verse number 10. And you understand in Romans 3 that Paul is making the argument, and my friend, it matters not if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It matters not if you're a devout Jew or a barbarian, that my friend, we're all under sin. And the Bible said in verse number 10, listen what Paul said. He said, as it is written. Now where's it written? It's going to be written in Psalm 48 and in Psalm 53. He said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And so, my friend, Psalm 14 is important in the fact that, my friend, the Holy Spirit reached back as you come in the New Testament age. He calls the man of the Apostle Paul to reach back and lay hold on what the psalmist David said about the depravity of the human race. And the fact of the matter is, Psalm 14, the Holy Spirit takes the events and life of David surrounding a penning of Psalm 14. And Brother Jerry said, I want to remind the human race that they are depraved in sin, that they're steeped in sin, that there's not one righteous, there's not one that's good, there's not one that's worthy, my friend, to go to glory. Amen. We've all got a problem, and that problem is with the depravity of sin. Now, that's what I want to preach on this morning, if the Lord will help me, out of Psalm 14 this morning. Notice with me, and this psalm, I believe, deals with the depravity of man. In light of Psalm 14, Psalm 53, and in Romans 3, we understand that man is depraved. Man is a depraved creature. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. The evolutionists would have you and I to believe that mankind is evolving, and that every million years or so we're getting better. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. Look around you, friend. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. There's more war than there's ever been. There's more wickedness than there's ever been. There's more murder than there's ever been. There's more sin than there's ever been. There's more drunkenness than there's ever been. There's more sacking than there's ever been. There's, my friend, more sodomy than there's ever been. And on and on and on you and I can go. We're not getting better. Amen. Man is depraved and man is getting worse. The Bible teaches the opposite of evolution. It teaches the opposite of worldly philosophy today. That man, my friend, has a problem in his nature, in that his nature in sin is depraved. The word that we're focusing in on this morning, it's not necessarily in the text, but it's the truth in the text, and that is depravity. That man is in depravity. Man is depraved. Man, my friend, is in this state in his sin. That he's in depravity. It simply means, here's what Noah Webster said, that depravity means, he said, it means to be destitute of holiness or good principles, and it's the work and result of sin. And I say today in ourselves, mankind is absolutely destitute and void and empty of holiness. He is not a holy being. He is not a holy creature. He cannot perform any, my friend, holiness in himself. And my friend, if such sin has crept in and runs through our veins today, and as depraved man, and he is void and empty of that which God is looking for. And you understand today, we'll see it in a moment, and God is looking for holiness. Amen. God is looking for righteousness. A man is so depraved that, and man is so steeped in sin that by our very nature, mankind, amen, has a problem being depraved in sin. You say, but I'm a pretty good boy. Well, amen, according to Psalm and in verse Psalm 14 and these verses, Psalm 53 and in Romans 3, you ain't as good as you think you are. In fact, amen, you're just as good as everybody else, and that is low down and good for nothing. Amen. I know you won't hear old Steve preach this, but it's the King James Bible. Amen. You ain't going to hear much of this on the radio today. The fact of the matter is, mankind is a depraved creature, steeped in sin. Nothing good about us. Nothing holy about us. Nothing, my friend, righteous about us. And so mankind, my friend, the work and result of sin in our life. Amen. Sin pushes us further down, further away from God. Amen. We're not getting closer to God. We're getting further from God. We're not getting closer to holiness. We're getting further from holiness. And my friend, the truth is Psalm 14 is that, my friend, mankind has a problem with the depravity of sin. Let me make just some introductory comments, try and get my feet on the ground. God knows I want to give you truth today. I wish you'd pray the Holy Ghost in power His Word this morning. Let me say this, number one, out of Psalm 14, and this is just introductory remarks, so don't get antsy and don't, amen, get too excited. I'll give it to you quickly. Number one, amen, notice this, the depravity of sin, my friend, is a universal problem of man. Amen, it doesn't matter what corner of the earth you go to. Amen. Sin abounds. Depravity abounds. Amen. You can go to the Middle East. You can go to North Korea. You can go to Japan, China, Russia, Australia. Amen. Mexico, Brazil, North America, Canada. You can go to the North Pole, and if there's a man, woman, boy, girl there, hey, friend, you'll find that the depravity of sin is a universal problem of man. It matters not your skin color. It matters not how rich or poor you are. It matters not your religious background. It doesn't matter what family you come up in. Hey, the depravity of sin is a universal problem of man. It abounds everywhere. That's what somebody said. Well, me and my family, we're going to go and buy us an island and live on an island and get away out of all this sin and all this wickedness. It won't be long. You're so depraved, you'll mess up that island. Amen. Listen, my friend, there's nothing good within us. You can hide. You can put your head in the sand. You can live in a cave. My friend, where man dwells, you'll find that the depravity of sin is a universal problem of man. Amen. Number two, sin is an ugly problem of man. I know that's simple, but it bears repeating this morning. All the sin in our day and the depravity of sin and the results that come out of it, it ain't a good thing. I don't care what Budweiser says. I don't care what Hollywood promotes. I don't care all their sacking and fornicating and adultery, my friend. They said it may be fun and pleasurable in the moment. The fact of the matter is the wages of sin is death. Amen. There's always a payment to be paid. Amen, for sin, and the depravity of sin is an ugly problem of man. The reason, my friend, they were babies that cried themselves to sleep last night because mom and daddy's done been down the divorce court is because sin's an ugly problem. Amen. The reason, my friend, they's been little boys and girls, amen, last night hiding under their bed, afraid of daddy coming home and afraid of what mama was going to do to them, is because the depravity of sin is an ugly problem. Amen. You say, I've never been through that. My family don't live in that. My friend, even if it ain't on the outside, if it ain't the external, it's the internal. And all the ugliness that is on the inside. And God will find in a moment is looking for man to be righteous. He's looking for man, my friend, to seek God and to know God. God looks in the heart. You remember what the Lord said when old Samuel went down? Not one of Jesse's sons said, ought to be the king in the stead of Saul. Amen. The first one come in, and old Samuel said, boy, it's got to be the Lord's anointed. He's got it all down on the outside. He'd be a great king. And the Lord looked at Samuel and said, Samuel, that ain't the one. I've rejected this. He said, God seeth not as man seeth. He said, man looketh on the outward, but God looketh upon the heart. God on the inside. Listen, we may see the outside and see your nice home and your nice cars and your nice clothes and your seemingly got it all together, but God looks down and God sees the depravity, not just a result of it, that you and I say and measure ourselves with one another and say, well, I'm not as depraved and bad off as he is. God sees the heart, and God says in His Word that the depravity of sin is an ugly problem of man. Let me say this morning, the depravity of sin is an undeniable problem of man. We're living in a generation, man, you preach like I'm a preaching now, and how, and I promise you it's going to get worse, so just hang with me. That you preach like this morning, and our generation will raise their head and they'll throw their nose in the air and they'll puff their chest out and they'll say, well, I ain't a sinner. I'm a good old boy. I'm a good old Southern girl. My friend, the fact of the matter is the Word of God lays it out clear and lays it out plain. God has given His Word and His law that we might be taught the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Amen. That sin is an undeniable problem of man. Amen. Why do little boys and little girls want that? Amen. Because it's an undeniable problem that mankind is born into, with a sin nature, a depraved nature. Amen. You ain't got to teach a youngin' how to lie. You ain't got to teach a youngin' how to steal. You ain't got to teach a youngin' how to do wrong. You ain't got to teach a youngin' how to rebel. And my friend, how my friend to give mom and daddy grief. The fact of the matter is, amen, it stems from an undeniable problem with the depravity of sin. We get these little babies, and they ain't a sweeter young than ever been born than a little Highland Barnett. Amen, back there. What a precious youngin'. But my friend, we see a precious youngin', but on the inside of that youngin's the depravity of sin. Are you, you say, preacher, that's a terrible thing to say. Listen, I love that youngin'. I hold him every chance I get. But I know his daddy, and I know his mama. And my friend, they're depraved. And my friend, they've got sin issues. And my friend, that youngin', and every youngin' ever born has an undeniable problem with the depravity of sin. You're just born into it. That's what David said in Psalm 51. And he was a saved man. He was a man who had already made things right with God as far as his soul. But after it's sin, after him being saved, he comes back to God and he's confessing his sin. And here's what he said. But Jerry said, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Fact of the matter is, when you was conceived in your mother's womb, you was conceived in sin. See, I ain't never heard nothing like this. I ain't never heard something so ugly and something so in my face. But I'm telling you, the Word of God reminds mankind today of the depravity of sin. It is an undeniable problem of man. You live in a sin-filled world. I want to show you several things this morning, the depravity of sin. Out of Psalm 14, notice with me this morning. I want to begin in verse number 2. Notice with me, the Bible said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Y'all pray for me now. Notice with me, number 1 this morning, I said, the search that is discreet. A search that is discreet. The Bible said, David said, I'm telling you, at the Lord God of glory, the one that made it all, the one that gave man life, the one that, my friend, gives you and I breath, the one that lets our heart beat every second of every day, at that one look down, and there's a search that is discreet. Oh, just with me, the person in this search. Amen. It ain't Allah, and it ain't Buddha, it ain't the Pope, it ain't some priest, it ain't the Mormon tabernacle. Amen. It ain't Joseph Smith, bless your heart. Amen. The Bible said the Lord looked down. My friend, do you understand the seriousness of that statement? Amen. Somebody said, man, I don't like it when a preacher preaches on my sin and exposes my sin. Amen. Can I say there's one bigger than the preacher? There's one, my friend, of a higher position that searches today. Amen. Here's what David said in another psalm. Amen. Or Solomon said in Proverbs, he said, behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Fact of the matter is, God looks today, God looks down, the Lord, the one who's the boss, the one who's the God of every other human God, the one that's the Lord of every other human Lord, the one that's the King over every other human King. Oh, Brother Scotty, he looks down and he's looking over his creation and his creatures and the man that he's made. And God makes a search this morning throughout the human race. Fact of the matter is, today God has his eye on you. That's a two-edged sword. That's a blessing to think that the God of glory is interested in me. But my friend, what's he saying? Notice with me, amen, the Lord, the person of the search, but the perception of the search. And the Bible said the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there's something that he wants to see. Brother Gerald, there's something that he's longing to look for. And can I say this morning, the Lord is looking on today. Amen. The Lord God of glory is making a search. And he looks down from heaven today, right down into 845 West Highway 2570 in Newport, Tennessee. And he looks down and he's perceiving to see if there's a, amen, there is the faith in this search, if you will, in the perception of it, at the Lord. Listen, notice the purpose. Amen. The perception and the purpose. He said to see if there were any that did understand and see God. David's saying, Brother Mark, as in this search it is described, he said, listen, God's in heaven. God's looking down. And God sees every teenage boy. God sees every teenage girl. God sees every father and every mother and every grandparent. And God sees young and old alike. And God makes a search for what? To see if there's anybody that understands God. To see if there's anybody that understands what God's looking for. To see the purpose in the search is to see, is there anybody seeking God? Where you at with God today? And I say this morning, I'll preach on here in a minute. Let's just slow down, let this sink in. Jerry, the fact of the matter is, God knows where you stand with Him. God ain't got no seeing problem. He ain't got no cataracts. Amen, he ain't got no vision problems. He don't need any glasses this morning. The fact is that the Lord looks down from heaven and he might see if there is one. Amen, you might could say the way David words this, that God is looking to see if there's been one that my friend understands and seeks God. According to what Paul said in quoting this passage in referencing Psalm 14 and 53, notice with me that Paul said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now listen, I know this morning we think that we're pretty good. We think we got it all nailed down. And my friend, we think that we got the preacher fooled, and you may. And we think we got mom and daddy fooled, and you may. And my friend, we think we got the church fooled, and you may. There's one in glory looking on. And he knows where you stand with him. Amen. Here's what we're doing, Brother Mark. We're measuring ourselves in the eyes of man. And every time we do, listen, Brother Will, you can always find somebody in worse shape than you are. You can always find another family. My friend ain't got it. Man, that's got it worse off than your family does. My friend, you better understand there's a one who's looking on today and he holds the plumb line and the measuring stick and he looks down and he says, hey, friend, exactly where you and I are with God. The search, it is distract. Notice with me this morning, the sinner, it is depraved. When you begin to study this psalm, here's what you find. Hey, it'll get better in the end. Y'all look on up in here. Amen. The sinner that is depraved. Amen. You'll notice with me in this psalm, I broke it down. I say maybe you can break it down further than I did. But Sister Kathy, there's 8 descriptions made about the depravity of the sinner this morning. Let me say number 1, according to verse number 1. There's the door of depravity. Notice what David said. Are y'all with me now? I really need you safe phone to look like you're with me, okay? Notice with me, the door of depravity. Here's what David said. The fool has said in his heart. In other words, David, in dealing with the depravity of the human race, he said the door of his depravity, the root cause of his depravity is his heart. He's got a heart problem. He's got a problem on the inside. Amen. And the reason men drink, and the reason men cuss, and the reason they take the name of the Lord our God in vain, and the reason they steal, and the reason they covet their neighbor's wife, and the reason they live in the wickedness they live in is because there's the door of depravity called the human heart. Here's what Jeremiah said about the heart. He said the heart is desperately wicked. Not only is it desperately wicked, but Brother Chris, he went on to say it is desperately wicked above all things. The fact of the matter is this morning, Brother Jordan, that the depravity of man, it's not an external problem. It's not the can of beer in a man's head. It ain't the bed of fornication. It ain't my friend the sackhead. Amen. It stems from the door of his heart and has been depraved by sin. That's why you can take the flesh and dress it up. You can throw a King James Bible under its arm. You can put every hair in place. Amen. You can put a suit and a tie on a man and a long old dress on a woman. Amen. But my friend, if you don't take care of the heart problem, it don't matter how you dress it up. They're still sinners. They're still headed to hell. They're still depraved in their sin. Amen. We get so impressed, and I've got the place in 35 years of age. Hey, Brother A.L., I'm less and less impressed with what I see on the outside. Amen. It don't impress me how you dress. It don't impress me how you do. It doesn't impress me today. Amen. How you live. Amen. There's a God in glory that sees the inside. And David said the inside is where that depravity problem stems from. He has a heart problem. That's why you try to do good and you can't. That's why you try to stop your cussing and you can't. Amen. I may not get off this. That's why, amen, you try to quit your fornicating and you just can't do it. Because on the inside of you, that at heart, David said, it's at heart that is wicked and depraved. Say everything right on the outside. I'm doing a study right now on one of our worship message series out of Matthew 15 where Jesus said, in vain they do worship me. Amen. I'm going to preach a message, amen, pretty soon on why worship loses its worth. And in that passage of scripture, here's what the Lord said. He said, Matthew 15:9, for in vain do they worship me. And in verse number 8, he said, this is a crowd. They draw nigh with their lips and with their mouth. But he said, their heart is far from me. Are y'all in the building? Don't matter what you say today. Matters what's in your heart. Don't matter what we can see on the outside today. Oh, man, friend, you can be a law-abiding citizen. And friend, you can be, amen, the best in the social status of our generation. That David said, that mankind and the sinner, amen, has a depravity problem. The door of his depravity is the inside. Jesus, in that Matthew 15, he said, it ain't what a man takes him that defiles him. But it's what comes up out of him. It's a heart problem. That's why Solomon told his son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In fact, the matter, the reason, my friend, sinners do what they do, whatever they do, on the outside, it is a problem with the door of their depravity being their heart. How's your heart this morning? That's why a sinner's got to get the place. Romans chapter number 10. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. There's got to be a change in the heart. There's got to be an inward change. There's got to be, amen, some decisions made in that depraved heart that is wicked if it's ever going to be made righteous. And friend, listen, there's got to be a change that takes place. The door of his depravity. Well, I didn't mean to hang up right there. Notice with me the declaration of depravity. Notice, or the desire, the declaration, however you want to word it. This morning, the desire. Notice what David said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now we can take this verse, and on the surface it appears that this is a professing atheist. My friend, this is somebody that is denying the very existence of God, and there is true fear, but really it goes deeper than that. Brother Stanley, really it's not just a declaration, but it is the desire of the depraved heart that there would be no God. Not only are they saying, listen, they're not saying it outwardly, and they wouldn't be a person in this building out on faith. Amen. There's not a person that I know of in this building that would stand up and say, you know what? There is no God. I deny that there is a God. My friend, the human nature is so depraved, and it does not, listen, it does not, they do not want there to be a God of the Bible. Oh, they don't mind their little human concept of a God, but they don't want the God of the Bible. That's why in Romans chapter number 1, are you listening to me? Listen now. Amen. In Romans 1, Paul is coming down and he's proving how wicked this world is. And he said, there's a time they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Then what did Paul say? He said their foolish heart began to be darkened. Why? Not because they didn't know there wasn't a God, but because they did not want the God that had made them telling them what to do. And I say today that the desire of depravity is this. I don't mind there being a God. I just don't want him to tell me what to do. I don't want him to tell me how wicked I am. I don't want him to tell me how bad I am. I want a God that makes me feel good. I want a God that makes me all warm and fuzzy all over. I want a God that, my friend, a smile on my sin and pat me on my little bald head. Amen. And pat me on the back and send me right on down my way. And can I say this morning, there's churches preaching that kind of a God, and it ain't the God of the Bible. You know what they're saying in their heart? They're saying there's no God. There's no God in the Bible. We don't want that God. Our desire is to push him off. My friend, there's a crowd sitting in here this morning. You don't mind. You don't mind the thought of there being a God. You just don't want the God of the Bible to be so. The God that said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We don't want that God. Woo! We want that lovey, 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 and thank God, the God of the Bible. The Bible said God is love, and I bless the name of the Lord, and he's a God of love. But if you're going to have the God of the Bible, you take all of him. Same God that is a God of love is a God of holiness, a God of righteousness, a God that has never smiled at sin, a God that has never overlooked sin, a God that said if you die in your sin that you'll go to hell. And our world says, I don't want that kind of a God. Hey man, I ain't going to get done with this. We just started a new series. No God. The desire of depravity is we don't want that God. You stay up there, we'll stay down here. Don't tell me about it. Don't preach to me about it. Don't tell me what he expects. Don't push me. I don't want there to be that kind of a God. Everybody all right? Telling you, son, that's how wicked we are on the inside. Somebody says, well, I'm pretty good. God's getting a good thing when he got me. God got a pretty good deal when he saved my soul. No, you're so wicked. Amen. You're as wicked as the rest of us. Amen. As wicked and low down as hog snot. Amen. Not worth shooting at. Amen. Headed for and deserving of hell. Amen. They don't desire of a depraved sin nature says, I don't want that God. Why do you think we got, they claim there's over 7,000 gods in the world we live in right now that men worship and bow down to? You can find any old gods you want in this world. Amen. You go to a Chinese restaurant and at the cash register, they'll have a big old fat belly Buddha and friend, and they'll set that thing up and bow down and hum and, amen, do their yoga, amen, and they'll, my friend, worship that God that they call Buddha. The Muslim this morning, he'll ride in on his camel, little towel on his head, pull out his little magic carpet and lay it down in the dirt and face turn Mecca today, and he'll worship Allah, the moon god. They don't mind that god. That's why in America, can I preach a little bit? In America years ago, we knew something about the God of the Bible. My friend, where have we got to the place you'd think a nation had been burnt out of born again believers and had a Bible in one hand holding on to God with the other, and it started like that less than 300 years ago. Are you listening? Amen. We'd always live for God. But mankind's proven one thing. And my friend, after a few centuries, man is so depraved in his heart. What do we got now? They say we don't want him in the schoolroom. We don't want him in the courtroom. We don't want them anywhere in our society. But man, friend, they don't have a problem with the Muslims' God. They don't have a problem with the Mormons' God. They don't have a problem with Buddha being set up in a restaurant. Amen. What is it? They're saying in their heart, in their depravity, there's a desire to do away with the God of the Bible. You and us hate it because we stand up without apology and say that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the Son of God. He's the way, the only way, the only truth, the only life. And the world says we don't want that God. Why? Because they're so depraved in their nature, there's a desire to rebel against the God that there is. If you need any proof this morning that the God of the Bible is the only true God, you need not look further past the point I'm preaching on today. Ain't it amazing? I mean, you want to bow down to an alligator? You want to bow down to a moon? Bow down to the sun? Bow down to a star? Bow down to a stump of wood? Bow down to a stone? And friend, nobody gets upset about that. Why is it that we're so offended when a born-again believer goes proclaiming the God of the Bible? Because the depravity of the human race, the depravity of sin, says, no, no, I don't want that God. Any other God will do, but I don't want that one. And when you water down the God of the Bible and use the Bible to do it, it's just as wicked as bowing down to a Buddha statue. Y'all might as well say, man, right there, all you're saying, if you just take a little bit of religion, a little bit of feel good, man, I'm not going to get off this today. I'm telling you, that old desire, depravity rises up and said, give me anything, even a watered down version of him. I just don't want him. All right, praise God. The door, the desire, notice the defilement of depravity. How am I doing? Everybody okay? The depravity, what did he say? He said, they are corrupt, verse 1. He said, they've done abominable works. So they're corrupt, they're abominable. In verse 3, he said, they're altogether become what? Filthy. So I live a pretty clean life. Not according to the Bible, you don't. If you're not saved, you don't know nothing about living clean. Oh, you might know a little bit about religion, but on the inside, he's talking about the inside. Brother Gerald, on the inside, before you got saved, you was corrupt, abominable, and filthy. Boy, that sure does paint a lot different picture than what we want to see ourselves in. Amen. We look in the mirror and we go, woo, what a good looking feller. Ain't that right? Amen. I ain't going to admit I'm ugly. Somebody say amen. I look in the mirror, bless God, and I see a fine specimen of a creature. God said, you're corrupt. God said, you're abominable. God said, you're filthy. I didn't say it. Please don't get mad at me. If you disagree with it, if you're going to get mad at anybody, amen, shake your fist into heaven. I didn't say it. God said it. God said, and the sinner in his depravity, he's a corrupt, abominable, and filthy individual. He's defiled. The word corrupt literally means a defilement from within. It deals with the fact that, my friend, that a man, a woman in his or her sin is rotting from the inside out. Amen. You go out down the road here and see a possum got run over this morning. You go on back by this afternoon, my friend, it'll look like it's still growing. That thing will be twice the size it was when you hit it, when you swerved to hit it. But it ain't got no life. All that swelling, all that looks like it's growing, it's literally rotten from the inside out. My friend, that's where the sinner is today. They feel like, Brother Scotty, they're swelling up. They feel like, man, I'm a growing, but they don't understand that on the inside of them dwells the ugliness and the universal problem and the undeniable problem of a sin-depraved nature, amen, that is rotting them from the inside out. The defilement of depravity. Notice with me, if you will, the discovery of depravity in verse number 3. I promise I'm trying to hasten on. God help us. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. According to verse 2, we've seen already the search that is described. And the God of heaven is looking on. He searches the human race. Amen. From Adam to the last man that's going to be born, God searches to say, is there anybody that understands? Is there any that's seeking God? And the discovery is this. They ain't a one of them. They're all filthy. They're all, and you say, what's all mean? All means you and all means me. All means my youngins and your youngins. Amen. Your mama and my mama. Your papa and my papa. Amen. You say, but my mama was a good old woman, but God said that we was all steeped in sin. Amen. Listen, you're arguing with God. I can't help you if you're going to argue with God. All I have today is to tell you what God said. And the discovery of depravity is God looked down and God, amen, sought and said, is there anybody that knows anything about God and seeking God? God said, they're all filthy. There is none good. No, not one. The discovery. Notice with me this morning, we see the delusion of depravity. Notice with me, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? In other words, God says, I'm so amazed that as I look up, that in their depravity that mankind has no knowledge of God. Amen. According to Romans 1, 2, and 3, amen, God has given mankind some things. Amen. By His grace that man can know something about God. And yet man pushes aside creation. And man, my friend, pushes aside the Word of God. Amen. Here is what that Paul said in Romans in chapter number 2. He said that crowd that ain't been given the law of God, that Gentile crowd, that even when they by nature do the things contained in the law, have a law written in their heart and are without an excuse. You say, I didn't grow up how you grew up, so God ain't going to hold me accountable. You listen here, friend. I don't care how young or old or what you grew up in. The fact of the matter is today, amen, you are delusional this morning. Amen, you're delusional this morning about God. Amen, even growing up in a pastor's home for 17 years, I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. Amen, I had a knowledge about God, but not a knowledge of God. I'm not trying to be philosophical this morning, but there is a difference. You can quote verses from memory, but my friend, amen, God said when I looked down, I come to the conclusion that I didn't, as I looked on, I was amazed that the workers of iniquity had no knowledge of me. Amen, I've got to hasten on. I have this problem where people quit before I do. Delusion of depravity. I know it ain't a shatter out, run the aisle message. I'm trying to get there. I don't know if we are. The delusion of depravity. Listen, my friend, what a sad way to live your life. There are people who'll live their entire life and not have any relationship, never be brought into a relationship with God. And to the world's standards, they'll live a pretty good life. But according to what God said about the depravity of the human heart and the human soul, die in sin, having been a good old boy and a good old girl. There'll be some little old limp-wristed, noodle-back, panty-waist preacher get up at their funeral and talk about how good they were and how they went to heaven the whole time. Amen. Listen, they were delusional about God, resisted God, and are burning in the flames of hell. It breaks my heart. That's why I'm preaching like this today, Brother Mark. I don't want there to be a young soul or an old soul to reach the end of life and my friends still be delusional about who God is. Notice with me the destruction of depravity. God said, do all the workers of iniquity have no knowledge? And then He made this statement, who eat my people like they do bread? Eat up my people. That is, they're destroying the people of God. And I say in depravity, these organizations like the ACLU, who are dead set on shutting down every Bible preaching church, amen, and shutting the mouth and putting a muzzle on every God-called man of God. Amen. I ain't going to quit preaching it. I'm not going to quit crying out about what God said. You'll never get saved till you realize how depraved you are in sin. I don't care what no professor in college says. He's wicked and you're wicked and everybody you know is wicked. And this crowd trying to muzzle righteous preaching is evidence of the depravity of the human heart. Some of you this morning, if you had your way right now, I'd have done shut up 20 minutes ago. You'd have you're eating me up alive in your heart. Oh! Some of you, whole way home, you're gonna eat up everything you've seen. You're going to just tear it down and pick it apart. Amen! Tear it up all the way home. You know what your problem is? You're depraved in sin. That choir sang too many songs. That preacher preached too long and way too loud. And man, he sweated and spit. And man, I think I got some on my cheek. And man, what's he doing up there rambling on and on about sin? My friend, you know what you're doing? You're eating it up. That's the depravity of sin on the inside that said, I don't want anything to do with God. Good quiet crowd we got here this morning. Amen. Notice with me, my friend, the destruction. But notice with me, this morning we see the defiance of depravity. God said, and call not upon the Lord. The Bible said in verse 6, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. In other words, what God is saying, the depraved soul, the sinner in his depravity of sin, that my friend is absolutely defiant at when you tell him, hey, the only way you ever gonna get to heaven is to call on the Lord. He said, I ain't calling. I'm not calling. Preach all you want. Beg all you want. Turn blue in the face. Pass out. I ain't calling. You're counseling me to get saved, but I ain't getting saved. You know what that is? That's that old depraved nature. Hanging on to his sin. Clawing in to their sin in defiance against what God said in His Word. You just think you're being defiant against a preacher in a church and against the people of God. Really, you're being defiant against the God of glory. Notice with me the derision of depravity. Here's what God said, verse 5, and then I'll preach about 5 minutes on the good stuff. Ain't that a blessing? Preach 50 minutes on the bad stuff and 5 on the good. Fact of the matter is, you ever get a hold of what I'm preaching right here the last 50 minutes, it won't take much more than 5 minutes of telling you the good stuff, you'll want it. Amen. Notice the derision. He said there's going to be fear. Then there was fear where there was no fear. When's it going to be in that place? Let me see your Bible. Let me get it right. Psalm 14, look down there in verse number 5. Psalm 14 and verse number 5, the Bible said, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. You know what that means, Brother Dean? That means there's coming a day that every depraved soul, their old wicked heart, the door of their depravity, the defilement of their depravity, the desire of their depravity, and so forth, as we preach this morning, all that they are, their eyes are going to be open one day, and they're going to see that God is with the righteous. And they're going to be struck in fear, where the Bible said in Psalm 53, in that same quotation he added there in Psalm 53, where there was no fear. The problem with the depraved heart, why he won't get saved, Brother Chris, he ain't got no fear of God. They don't want that God that they're to be afraid of. But the day's coming when heaven and earth's going to pass away and flee away from the presence of Him that sits on the throne, and there'll be no place found for you to hide. And you're going to be in fear that day when you recognize a crowd that's saved and made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, God dwells with them. He don't dwell with you. You're going to be in big trouble. Amen. We see the search that is described, the sinner that is depraved. I promise, I didn't mean to preach this long, son, but I'm feeling pretty good. Notice the salvation that is declared. David goes through all this. He sees some things for himself. He hears what God says. And Brother Danny hears what he said. Oh, that's the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. You know what he's saying? He's saying if there's going to be any help for any of us, somebody's going to have to show up and bring deliverance and bring salvation. We're all so wicked, and we're all so defiled, and we're all so depraved in sin. He said, oh, that there would be some salvation come up out of the place where God has put His name. Can I say, it wasn't, my friend, just 1,000 years or so later, on the scene down in Bethlehem of Judea. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a little old virgin girl, the angel of the Lord showed up and said, amen, that which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He showed up that young man who was espoused to that young woman. He said, hey, don't be afraid to take her for your wife. He said that which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to call His name Emmanuel. Amen. Which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. I'm telling you that 2,000 years ago, amen, salvation came up at His hand. Amen, I'm telling you, all those years since, David looked around and said, and God looked down and said, and we're all without hope, and we're all to pray. And God, I'm glad to say, and when Jesus showed up, He brought deliverance, He brought salvation. There is hope in the grace of God. Amen, hallelujah. As wicked being a preacher's kid, as wicked as the meanest drunk in town, the biggest fornicator in town, amen, the biggest pornographer in town, I'm telling you, as wicked as any of them was. Amen. Thank God, salvation appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood and gave His life. Amen, friend, now there's hope where there was no hope. There's deliverance where there was no deliverance. Go to Romans 3, if you will, and one more time, and I'm winding down. I'm about to explode. Hallelujah. Is there anybody with me still? Notice with me in Romans 3. You got to see this. Man, you got to see this. Y'all understand Romans 3? That Paul takes us back to Psalm 14 and makes his argument that we're all sinners. But I'm glad Paul didn't leave us hanging there. I'm glad, listen now, David ended Psalm 14 desiring salvation. Said, man, if he's any hope, man, something's got to happen. I'm glad I'm living in the dispensation of grace. I'm glad I ain't on the other. I'm glad I'm on this side of Calvary, not the other side of Calvary. Because Paul didn't leave us hanging where David did, hoping it was going to come. Watch this, man. You got to see this. Are y'all really with me? Lord, have mercy. Watch this, verse 21. Are you there now? Look at it now. Read it with me. But now, can I just stop there and say thank God for now? Woo, hallelujah. Back then, I lived for the devil. Back then, I was in that crowd. Everyone's wicked. Everybody's vile. But now, hallelujah, I'm glad now things have been made different. I'm glad now I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad now there's hope for every sinner. But now, amen, somebody write that down. I'll preach on that sometime. But now, thank God, not then, now. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto, watch this now, unto all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But thank God, amen, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That simply means that you're all sinners. But everybody who's ever called on the name of the Lord by faith in the Lord Jesus, upon all that believe, is placed that righteousness of God that God's been looking for all since man fell. Hallelujah. For all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to pay for it. Quit trying to be good enough to get it. He said being justified freely by His grace. Amen. Notice, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. David in Psalm 14:7 saying, oh, I wish He'd come. Paul got to Romans 3. He said, hey, that thing David said about us all being wicked, it was true. But thank God salvation has come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in His name. There, watch it now, the remission of sins. Righteousness for the remission of sins. That simply means God will take your sin and your depravity in sin. He'll take that from you and bestow upon you the righteousness of His Son. So now He becomes just. He is just and the justifier of every person that calls on His name. The justifier. Justification, you know what that is, Brother Chris. That simply means the day you get saved and come to the Lord, Linda, He takes all your sin, puts His righteousness in you, and justification says it's just as if, somebody said it's just as if you've never sinned. It's more than that. Amen. It's just as if you was never a sinner. It's not just as if you'd never sinned. God takes it all away. God reaches down and takes all the sin and the penalty of it. He takes it all away. Says, there's righteousness. I finally have found what I've been looking for. Amen. Ain't my own. It's His. What did David say? He said, when salvation comes, there'll be rejoicing and there'll be gladness. You see,
Come on, Sister Candy. You know why we raise our hand and say, whoa, glory, when we sing The Dearest Friend I Ever Had? Brother Gerald, it's because I remember the day I was that sinner that is depraved. And I had every one of them eight things in my life. Had every one of them headed to the judgment of God. I wasn't there yet, but I was already under it. Already under that derision, that condemnation. But salvation came. My life was changed. That's why we sing, when I was drifting out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. But Jesus came. Jesus came. I'm not standing before you saved because I was baptized and I was good enough to get it. But Jesus came. Saved my soul. Made me glad. Brother Will, that's why we rejoice and get excited and have a smile and shout and scream and run aisles and do everything but pick a bench up and throw it through the wind in Jesus' name. Because we remember the day that He saved our soul. Sinner friend, God loves you today. Now He hates your sin and you in bad trouble and depravity. You say, are you preaching down to us? I'm not preaching down to you. I told you before I even got started. I got plenty of enemies that don't need any more. The fact of the matter is today, you got to understand what you are. You got to understand just how wicked you really are. We act like in our generation sin ain't all that bad. God hates it, and your sin will send you straight to hell. But thank God salvation has come. Here's what John said, John 1, he came to his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, believed on his name, repented of their sin, received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God hates your sin, but He loves you. God wants to save you from your sin. Have you ever been saved today? Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, have mercy. I preached way too long. I know, man. We want to get out of here. No one's looking around this morning. This altar's open. If you're saved, maybe you want to come pray, thank the Lord for saving you. Maybe this morning you just want to come to this altar and pray for somebody else in the service that ain't saved. I promise you they're here. Let me ask this question this morning. How many would say in the building this morning, right now where you stand, you'd say, Brother Jeff, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I've been born again. I know the Lord. I don't just know about Him, but I know that I'm saved. You just uplift your hand, hold it right there for a minute. I know I'm saved. But Jeff, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Would there be one this morning? They were several, couldn't raise your hand. Would there be one anywhere this morning? Say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand right there. I don't know that I'm saved. What you preached this morning has spoke to my heart. I've never made peace with God. If I die where I'm standing this morning, this afternoon, preacher, I'd be in serious trouble with God. I know that. Preacher, please pray for me. Is there one anywhere? Is there one anywhere? Listen, you couldn't raise your hand. You knew you were saved, but you care enough this morning to say, preacher, please, at the least, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there one anywhere? Is there one anywhere? Sir, ma'am, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Is there one anywhere? Come on now, friend. Say, preacher, please pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm saved. Father, this morning I do ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, would you please speak to every heart. God, there's a lot of saved people on this altar this morning. Lord, they're giving you thanks, and I want to give you thanks that when I was drifting out in sin, Lord, when I was plagued in it, corrupt in it, and filthy in it, Lord, when I was depraved in it, didn't even desire God, Lord, you took your word and you began to convince me. Lord, even what we preach this morning was true of my life. Lord, I'm not trying to speak down to sinners today. Lord, I used to live there. Lord, I used to be what we declared this morning. And Lord, even the nature of my flesh is still that. Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, you did exactly what you said you'd do in your word. That, Lord, when I called, you answered it. You were just and the justifier of my very life. Lord, today I don't come to you today in anything of myself, not my own righteousness. Lord, I come this morning, Lord, to you and into this place and living my life before you, clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you this morning, would you take your word and Lord, maybe this morning it's just going to be a seed sown in a heart. Lord, take it and do with it, Lord, what you sent it forth to do. Convince men and women and boys and girls. It don't matter who their mom and daddy is. It don't matter, Lord, how good they are or what church they go to. In our very nature dwells sin, depravity, and a destitution of holiness before God. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would draw them to Jesus Christ, the place of repentance. And Lord, all that you do, we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name, I want your heads bowed, eyes closed for just a minute longer. May some still a praying this morning. The depravity of sin. The depravity of sin. I want to invite you this morning, if you know in your heart right now where you are, you know in your heart, I'm not saved, don't know the Lord. I want to invite you right now this morning where you stand, right there maybe where you're sitting. Won't you get up? Won't you step out? We'll take the Word of God. Listen, we'll take the Word of God. If you got questions, my friend, we'll answer your questions by the Word of God. We'll take the Bible and show you how you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. I promise you, listen, the old devil lied to you. The old devil, listen, friend, the old devil lied to you. Say, that preacher, he don't love you. Preach to you like that, tell you how wicked you are. My friend, there's a verse in the New Testament book of Galatians. Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Be it me or any other preacher, a preacher that'll tell you the truth. My friend, he's not your enemy. He don't hate you. He loves you. And I'll be honest, I hate sin. I hate your sin and I hate my sin. I really hate my sin. I hate your sin, but I love your soul today. There's a God in glory that loves you more than this preacher does. Ma'am, you step out there and you come on down. I promise you this. The Lord will save your soul. The Lord will save your soul. Here's what he said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He ain't in the turning away business. He ain't in the turning away business. Now you can play games, and I ain't even preaching on that this morning. You can play games and wind up in trouble with God. This morning you come with a sincere, broken heart. God won't turn you away. God will save you. God will save you. I'm not stalling. There's a few that's still down here praying this morning. If you you God's dealing with. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord? Play one more verse, sister. Can look this way. All hearts free this morning.